This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Peace talks on Somalia collapsed today in Khartoum, and both sides warn that war may be imminent. The talks are between the government, which is recognized by the African Union but has little actual power, and an Islamic group that controls the capital, Mogadishu, and much of the southern part of the country. The government is supported by Ethiopian troops in the town of Baidoa, and reports say that Islamic forces have moved close enough to exchange artillery fire. For 15 years now, Somalia's been the definition of a failed state. There is no central government and plenty of warfare among a bewildering variety of groups. Over the past year or so, the so-called Islamic Courts movement has emerged as a new force in that country, and more outside powers are being drawn in. Both Ethiopia and its rival Eritrea have interests in Somalia, and many thousands of refugees have crossed the border into Kenya. A new war in Somalia could become a regional conflict in the Horn of Africa, in what is already one of the poorest parts of the world. Later in the program, Barack Obama joins us to talk about language, politics, and the public spotlight, and to take your calls. If you want to send questions for Senator Obama by email now, our address is talk@npr.org. But first, the crisis in Somalia. If you have questions about what's happened and why, join the conversation. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address again is talk@npr.org. We begin with Rob Crilly, a freelance reporter and contributor to the Christian Science Monitor and to the Times of London. He joins us by phone from his home in Nairobi, Kenya. Thanks very much for joining us.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
Should these warnings of war be taken seriously?
Well, yes, I think they should. I've been reporting on the situation in Somalia for about the past 4 months, ever since the Islamic Courts took control of the capital issue. And we've had these warnings on and off during all that period. But I think now we really are on the brink of civil war. Francois Fall, the UN special envoy to Somalia, today certainly blamed the intransigence of both sides for the collapse in negotiations, went on to say that there really was a real risk of clashes. So we've had these warnings all the time, but this really now, I think, is the closest we've come.
And these talks have been sponsored by the Arab League. Any hopes that they can be revived?
Well, they pretty much came to a halt yesterday in Khartoum. And there was some talk of them resuming again today. We heard that they have been postponed indefinitely. I think really needs some major moves because at the moment neither side is willing to talk to the other. For a while they've been content to face off, and everybody was putting hopes on these talks. But really, both sides went to Khartoum with no real intention of talking to each other. Mm-hmm. But I think unless there's some real push by the international powers to get the two sides back around the table, I really don't see any hope for those talks.
Mm-hmm. We know that Ethiopian troops are in supporting the government in Baidoa. How much support does that government have amongst Somalis?
I think it's fair to say almost none. Ever since the Islamic Courts took control of the Mogadishu, the courts themselves have been moving out across Somalia and to a certain extent have been welcomed. They've brought a degree of stability and law and order to the areas they control. Meanwhile, the government has been sent back right into its base in the town of Baidoa. And day by day, they were hearing that more and more MPs...
We're having trouble hearing you on the phone, difficulties with the line, Rob Crilly, but I did want to ask you one more question, and that is that the United States embassies in Ethiopia and in Kenya, where you are, advised Americans there of terrorist threats that emanating from extremist elements within Somalia, which target Kenya, Ethiopia, and other surrounding countries. Are people there taking this warning seriously?
Certainly the American embassy is taking it very seriously and has sent out warnings to citizens here. I have to say I haven't been able to get any confirmation from any other diplomats from other Western countries here about the nature of these warnings. And I think that the U.S. authorities are really playing it safe. There is a potential threat, so the warning has gone out, but I think we're still waiting for clarification and confirmation that this is a real threat.
Rob Crilly, thanks again. We appreciate your time.
Thanks very much.
Rob Crilly, a freelance reporter and a contributor to the Christian Science Monitor and to the Times of London, with us by phone from his home in Nairobi, Kenya. Again, we apologize for the poor quality of the telephone line. Ted Danye is a specialist in African affairs at the Congressional Research Office here in Washington, D.C., and he's been kind enough to join us here in Studio 3A. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And as you look at the situation, do you agree that we could have a war imminent in Somalia?
Well, there's been conflict in Somalia for the past, 15 years since the collapse of the Ziad-Barre government, somewhat contained and some areas peaceful, such as in Somaliland. But we have had ongoing instability and infighting, both in Mogadishu and other areas of Somalia. I don't believe that we will see at this juncture a regional war, because the forces in Somalia really are not conventional forces, nor have the capabilities to project power beyond their borders.
You're talking about the Islamic Courts movement, their forces.
Yes.
We have read, though, that former Somali soldiers are joining this movement and making it a more formidable force.
Yes. In fact, some of the warlords were former Somali soldiers, and including, by the way, the current leader of the Islamic Court Union was also a former senior official in a group called Al-Ittihad, which was in the terrorism list here in the United States. The current leader of the TFG, the Transitional Federal Government, was a former army as well.
If Ethiopian troops are backing this very weak government in Baidoa, how can regional forces not get involved if fighting breaks out?
They've been there before. They've supported the transitional federal government in the past, and they've supported other factions as well. And other governments are doing the same thing. If Ethiopia did not support early on the transitional federal government, the Islamic Court Union by now would have taken over Baidoa. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, Ethiopia's support for Abdullahi Yusuf is also a liability for him, because it confirms the suspicion of many Somalis that he's not independent and he's a proxy of the Ethiopian government.
This Islamic Courts movement has control of Mogadishu, as we've said, and much of the southern part of the country. Are they trying to expand that influence into the northern part of the country, into Somaliland, which has been virtually autonomous for quite some time now?
We don't know for sure, but they have expanded their influence all the way to Kismayo. One of the commanders today was quoted as saying that we don't want to stay in Baidoa. We want to also go to Puntland and Somaliland. Whether this reflects, I think, the wishes and the agenda of the entire Islamic Court Union, we're not sure. But they have expanded their influence. Indeed, they also have support in those places.
Ethiopian officials say they're worried that the Islamic Courts Union may also be interested in areas occupied by Somalis that are actually in other neighboring countries as well, a greater Somalia, if you will. Is that a legitimate concern?
Well, we've heard that concern before. The issue is, have they done anything to, basically achieve those objectives? They're having trouble within their own country, let alone going into Somali-populated areas in Kenya or Djibouti or, for that matter, Ethiopia. Ethiopia is a very powerful country in the region. And Ethiopia is the one in Somalia, not the Islamic Court in Ethiopia.
Let's get some callers involved in the conversation. Our number, if you'd like to join us, is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And we'll begin with Ali. Ali's with us from Minneapolis.
Neil Conan, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you very much. I enjoy the subject. I'm the chairman of the Somali Leadership Council of Minnesota, the largest Somali population in North America, with the exception of Canada. Well, I would like to disagree with your guest in his expression in terms of saying Ethiopia is the most powerful country in East Africa. I would like to remind him that Ethiopia is a country of 74 million people, and the regime in Addis Ababa, who are now behind the most of the problems in Somalia, the Tigray TPLF regime, They make up only 3 million out of the 74 million people in Ethiopia. So they have a tremendous problem within Ethiopia. So in order to hide that, they are trying to divert attention from their massacre, like in the Ogaden region, which is not that, which is the eastern part of Ethiopia, and which is being a source of conflict. Somalia and Ethiopia, you have to mention, went to war
mm-hmm.
in 1964 and 1977 over the Ogaden region. And this is still remains the fundamental issue between the two countries. And without a clear resolution to this crisis in the Ogaden region, there will be no peace in East Africa as a whole. And I would like to... Can I say one more thing?
If you make it quick.
Absolutely, Neil. Thank you. I would like to say also, the Islamic Courts Union, now that controls in Mogadishu and much of the southern part of Somalia, there is virtually nobody in Somali society, less than 0%, that supports the government based in Baidawa. They control 15 miles square city in a country the size of the state of Texas. And contrary to that, the Islamic Courts enjoy 99.99% of the Somali population and the support. They took out all the checkpoints, all the guns have been taken out of the streets. Mogadishu now is much more safer than the city of Nairobi and Addis Ababa.
All right, let's get a response from Ted Danya before we have to go to a short break. But thank you, Ali.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree, I think, with a number of points that you've made where you disagreed that the fact that Ethiopia is not a powerful nation. I think I would leave it for the expert to make that judgment. As for the Islamic Court Union's, achievements so far, well, they've done some good things by bringing, I think, stability and peace in the areas they control. But they have also been inconsistent. They've negotiated an agreement, they signed a ceasefire agreement, but they violated it by going into military actions in Kisfayu and other places.
We're going to have to take that short break now, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by David Chin, a former ambassador to Ethiopia, who's also going to help us on this complicated situation as there are fears of war breaking out in Somalia on the Horn of Africa. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The United States warned its citizens in Kenya and Ethiopia today to be vigilant when visiting prominent places in those countries. The warning came following the collapse of talks between the Somali government and rival Islamists. The embassy said the warnings were in response to terrorist threats coming from within Somalia, which target Kenya, Ethiopia, and surrounding countries. Today we're talking about the crisis in Somalia and this new threat of war. Still with us is Ted Danya, a specialist in African affairs at the Congressional Research Service here in Washington, D.C. Of course, you're welcome to join us as well. If you have questions about the situation in Somalia, about what's happened and why, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And also with us now is Ambassador David Chin, who served as U.S. Ambassador to Ethiopia and is a former State Department coordinator to Somalia. He's with us here in the studio as well. Nice to talk with you again.
Good to see you, Neil.
I wanted to ask you about this advice from U.S. embassies in Kenya and Ethiopia about terrorist threats emanating from within Somalia. Is that a legitimate concern?
These are fairly common kinds of announcements to make. I can recall when I was ambassador in Ethiopia that we received these things fairly frequently. Sometimes there was substance behind them, and frankly, sometimes there was not. Without actually seeing the raw intelligence on this, it's very, very difficult to know what to make of it. And I, of course, have not seen that raw intelligence.
When you were last here, we spoke about the U.S. role in Somalia, and you described it as one of largely neglect since the withdrawal of American troops in 1994. What should be the role of the United States now?
I think the United States needs to make a particular effort to establish contact with both the transitional federal government and the Islamic courts. I think it's had pretty good contact with the transitional federal government right along, but the contact with the Islamic courts has been fairly minimal, although it is my understanding that there has been at least one meeting at a fairly senior level with members of the courts. In addition to having that contact established over the very short term, to the extent that there's any possibility whatsoever of reviving these talks in Khartoum between the transitional federal government and the Islamic courts. I think the United States and other interested countries need to do what they can on their own and put pressure on the friends of both sides to be serious in Khartoum, to sit down and start compromising and do something, not just disagree about even meeting. And I think this pressure has to come from Arab League members on the one hand, African Union members on the other, plus the international community. And I think the United States should be in the lead in pushing these other countries to use their leverage to do just that.
If, as we've heard both Rob Crilly and Ted Danye say, the transitional federal government controls nothing but a small area of Baidoa and exists largely because it's supported by outside forces, in this case from Ethiopia, why deal with them at all?
Well, there are other areas of Somalia that are not under the control of the Islamic courts. Whether it's legitimate to say that the transitional federal government controls them or not is another matter. But all of the area known as Puntland, which is northeastern part of Somalia, or virtually all of it, is not under the control of the Islamic courts. There still are some areas along the Kenya border and the far southern part of the country that are also not under the control of the courts. So it's not quite correct to suggest that virtually all of Somalia outside of Somaliland is under court control. That's just not the case.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly not under the control of the federal government either.
That's probably true.
So who does represent those areas? Who can talk for them in these negotiations?
Well, there are independent leaders in Puntland, for example, who represent that part of the country, and they're probably the only people who can speak for Puntland.
Mm-hmm. And finally, we'll get to the calls in a moment. Are you concerned about the prospect of a regional conflict if a war should erupt?
I agree with Ted Danye on this. The situation is clearly more dangerous than it was several weeks ago, and it seems to be getting a little more dangerous with each passing week. But I don't think that it has reached the point of a regional conflagration at this point, in part because of what Ted said, the sheer military power of Ethiopia on the one hand, and the generally lack of that power, at least in a straightforward military sense, of the Islamic courts.
Mm-hmm. Let's get more callers on the line. This is Ismail. Ismail calling us from Washington, D.C.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Thank you very much, Neil. This is a great show. I always listen to your show. I really enjoy it.
Thank you
very much. And I want to say thank you for your guest. And I have a question on it, because I know U.S. has a big influence, and recently they've been giving the support money from the Ethiopian government, especially the prime minister, who was saying, like, this last year or year before that, saying it's a terrorist region, you know, terrorist group activated in Somalia region and all that. But now it looks like the majority of the people of Somalia, because I've been there, I've been the border between Somalia and Ethiopia, between Somalia and Kenya, and I've seen the Kenyan government influence too, seeing how the new development coming from Somalia, and I'm seeing the tourists too. I was in Addis Ababa, and I've seen the reaction of Addis Ababa and people and the government, how the way they, you know, seeing the reaction coming from Somalia. But I don't want to get into that, but my point it is, why United States, since they're supporting the government in Ethiopia, that regime running that country, why they don't have to say, you need to stay away from Somalian affairs? Why do they have more than thousands of soldiers? Because I was in Baidoa, and I was able to see it, and Ethiopian soldiers and their armed vehicles and everything running on the street and giving the command and ordering and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, Ted Danye, if you could begin by telling us why Ethiopian soldiers are in Somalia to begin with.
I think Ethiopia indeed does have a strategic interest in seeing a stable Somalia, because the borders where you have significant Ethiopian Somalis, there have been in the past Somali factions supporting rebel movements inside Ethiopia and destabilizing the area. And that instability in certain areas is still is very much alive. The fact that Ethiopia is there supporting the transitional federal government, I think, may be seen by some as taking sides. On the other hand, I think it's important to remember that the transitional federal government was a result of an exhaustive, internationally backed negotiation, where eventually not only the warlords, but clan leaders, religious leaders took part. Mm-hmm. There is a parliament that had been established. Therefore, that framework, I think, must be protected. That agreement must be protected in order for the Somalis to be able to establish a working, functioning central government. They are in Baidoa because they were advised early on that they shouldn't take their own militia into Mogadishu because of concerns about the conflict.
But I think let me tell you this, because I was in the conference in Nairobi, Kenya, when the conference was happening back in 2002. And Ethiopia had a big influence because they're the one who's backing up this and another warlord who's running the government called Abdullah Yusuf. They're the one who's supporting. They brought $3 million to support him to elect it on it. And even though it was the European Union, our Arab Legion, and all other African countries was there, why only Ethiopia speaking out? Mm-hmm. Why Ethiopia is interested in past, particularly, because I can go back history, because I don't know if you've been in Somaliland or
I'm not sure how much of a history lesson we have time for, Ismail, but I wanted to ask Ambassador Shin to respond to Ismail's question. I mean, Ethiopia seems to be playing the central part in this. As Ted Danya was discussing, this was a product of intense negotiations some years ago, this transitional federal government.
Well, clearly, Ethiopia has security concerns with Somalia simply because it has a 1,000-mile-long border with a combination of Somalia and Somaliland. That does not, however, mean that it is a wise thing to have Ethiopian troops in Somalia. And just to say a word on behalf of the U.S. government, I don't speak for the U.S. government, but the State Department press spokesman has called for the withdrawal of all foreign troops from Somalia. So that would include Ethiopian troops. And if
the Ethiopian troops left, wouldn't the transitional federal government leave shortly thereafter?
Who knows what would happen to the transitional federal government. It would be up to them to prove whether they have any support outside of Baidoa or not. That may very well be a result. But there are not just Ethiopians in Somalia. According to the recently leaked United Nations report, there are up to 2,000 Eritreans in Somalia also.
Ethiopia and Eritrea are also rivals.
They are rivals, and Eritrea does not even have a border with Somalia. It's my understanding that there are at least small numbers of other foreign fighters in the country, not necessarily attached to any government.
I disagree with that, because I was present. I did research for my school and everything, and I was there to look at it, every region and every place. Mm-hmm. At this moment, I'm talking about yesterday, I had a phone call before when the meeting collapsed. I had a phone call from the people who was working the two side on it. And one of the points of the conference collapse was that the Islamic court said, before we start negotiating, you have to agree as a government to tell the Ethiopian troops to get out of there. And Kenya cannot play or represent in IGAD when the IGAD countries are not present there. Mm-hmm. So what Kenyan ambassador, the guy who is ambassador to Somalia, he's original from Somalia in Ogadenia, who born and raised in Kenya, said it fine, but when he went out and told another face on it, because I remember when he was in there in Mogadishu, he met Islamic court.
You're getting into a level of detail that I'm not sure we can. You were talking about the grouping of East African countries, but let's get a response from Ambassador Shin.
I'm not sure what you were disagreeing with in terms of my statement, and all I'm doing is quoting a leaked United Nations report on the existence of both Ethiopian and Eritrean troops inside Somalia. Whether that report is accurate or not, I have no way of knowing, of course. But I do believe that it is accurate to say that the United States has been is on the record for urging that all foreign troops be out of Somalia.
Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Thomas. Thomas is calling us from Sonoma in California.
Yes, I wondered if your guests could explain what CARTAN is and the role of the quest for various natural resources from the area have in major corporations that want these resources, finding it easier to extract them less expensively in a more destabilized situation? And is there a certain element of a turf war going on where various countries are backing various different militias because their companies want to extract the natural resources?
And are you talking about Coltran in terms of the ore?
Yes.
Okay.
It's called CARTAN. It's used
in manufacturing of electronics.
Computers. It's very valuable.
Okay. Is that an issue, Ted Danya?
To my knowledge, it's not an issue. Coltran, I think, it's in Congo, DRC, mm-hmm. But not in Somalia. And where you have stability in places like Somaliland, some companies do go in. But I doubt that Western companies or Western governments support certain factions in order to have their companies go into Mogadishu.
Is there oil that
we
know of?
What is the natural resources that are valuable there?
In Somalia, I was just about to ask if there was oil there.
There's been for a long time talk about oil, but to my knowledge, I have not heard any major findings of oil reserve or other natural resources.
So they're not fighting over any material goods. They just
one of the poorest countries in the world.
Indeed.
Thomas, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
We're talking today about a developing crisis in Somalia. Talks broke down earlier this week between the Islamic Courts Union, a new factor in Somali politics, relatively new, and the temporary federal government in Baidoa. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go now to Khalif. Khalif with us from Arlington, Virginia.
Yes, my name is Khalif Muhammad. I'm originally from Somalia. And Ethiopian government wants to divert about the attention, what he did it about the elections. And we know about the human rights in Ethiopia. So he wants only to divert that, Europeans, not to see them about what he's doing to. And Melissa now, he's a dictator, and he wants to put another dictator in Somalia, which he promised about to use Somalian ports, because Melis went to a war with Eritrea. He don't have any ports. He don't have anything to do about Somaliland. So he's seeking about Somalian ports. That's the only thing. And the transitional government has nothing to do about with Arab League or Arab African Union. He don't have any powers to put there.
All right, I'm trying to summarize your point here, Khalif, and put it to Ambassador Shin, because we have limited time. Ethiopia, a landlocked country without its former province of Eritrea, is it looking for ports in Somalia?
Yes.
I'm trying to get a response here from Ambassador Shin. Please go ahead.
I think there are multiple reasons why Ethiopia is interested in Somalia. I don't think that trying to access ports is the highest on the priority list. It certainly does make some use now of Berbera, which is a port in Somaliland, and that's mainly for food going into southeastern Somalia. But I think that in addition to just a long-standing historical interest along that border, there are simply security issues of interest to Ethiopia. And some of them are legitimate. Now, whether that justifies sending troops into Somalia, I would say no. Mm-hmm.
The United States also has troops in the region, in Djibouti, right on the tip of that Horn of Africa. Are U.S. forces in any danger of getting involved here?
I don't think so. Those troops are basically there in a counterterrorism capacity. They're not, strictly speaking, sort of fighting forces with a boots-on-the-ground type of role. They're there to monitor terrorist activities, and they're also doing a lot of civic action work in the countries that they are assigned to.
Mm-hmm. Ted Danye, there is concern, obviously, as we saw in that warning issued by the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Ethiopia today, of terrorist factions that may not be connected to the Islamic Courts Union basing themselves inside the failed state that is now Somalia. Is that a legitimate concern? Is there danger of these outside forces coming in and setting themselves up there?
I think there is definitely concern. We have to go back and look at what happened over the past 7-8 years. Our embassies, for example, in Kenya and Tanzania were attacked by a suicide bomber in 1998. There was another terrorist attack in Mombasa in 2002. And we also have to be concerned about an incident that took place in Baidoa. For the first time, there was a suicide bombing. The target was President Abdullahi Yusuf. This is not what we knew of Somali military strategy. They would shoot, they would kill, but not engage in suicide bombing. So that is a concern. Whether it's coming from outside, whether it's internal, we're not sure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both very much. We appreciate your time today. You just heard Ted Danye, who's a specialist in African affairs at the Congressional Research Office here in Washington, D.C., here with us in Studio 3A. David Shin, Ambassador Shin, thank you so much for your time today, too.
My pleasure, Neil.
David Shin served as ambassador to Ethiopia, and he also was with us here in Studio 3A. When we come back from a short break, we're going to be speaking with Senator Barack Obama, the junior senator from Illinois. He's going to be joining us from the campaign trail in Virginia. If you'd like to get in on that conversation, give us a call now, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after the break. This is the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.